Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And it was in July, 16 years ago, that Bosnian Serb forces overran the safe area declared by the UN around the Bosnian town of Srebrenica. Alan Johnston has been talking to one of the Dutch soldiers assigned to protect the town.
Warrant Officer Wim Dijkema arrived in the Srebrenica enclave in January 1995. He remembers his first impressions.
It was winter. The people in there, the Muslims, they really were suffering. The first thing I remember is a very old lady without a jacket, without good shoes, walking in the snow. And then I thought, this is even worse than I thought.
People half starving, freezing conditions, lack of supplies and violence on a daily basis between the two warring groups.
That's right. For me, it was hard to understand that the world, the UN, didn't do anything to feed them better, to help them more.
Wim Dijkema was one of 600 lightly armed Dutch UN peacekeeping troops. Along with the tens of thousands of civilians in the Srebrenica area, there were Muslim fighters too, and they would launch raids into the surrounding ethnic Serb territory. Laying siege to the enclave were Bosnian Serb forces under General Ratko Mladic, and the Dutch troops felt the pressure mount. Early in June, the Serbs took one of their outposts.
Suddenly, on a Saturday morning, there was a tank in front of them, 100 metres away. Somebody climbed out and called, "You have to leave the observation post within 10 minutes. If not, we will shoot. And we will take over the observation post." And after 7 minutes, they gave a shot with a tank and half of the observation post was gone.
At one point in early July, the hopelessly outgunned Dutch retreated from another of their outposts. This step back enraged Muslim fighters. One of them threw a grenade and killed one of the Dutchmen. Soon afterwards, 30 Dutch soldiers surrendered to the Serbs and became their hostages. The Dutch force only had one major weapon: the ability to call in air attacks, and they asked for a massive raid on Serb positions on the morning of July the 11th. But this wasn't carried out. In the afternoon, planes did appear, but only dropped two bombs. The Serbs then threatened to kill their Dutch hostages, and there were no more air raids. A few hours later, the outside world heard this news.
The Muslim-held town of Srebrenica in eastern Bosnia has fallen to advancing Bosnian Serb forces. Thousands of frightened people fleeing the Bosnian Serb advance have gathered at the main Dutch base north of Srebrenica to seek protection.
The Bosnian Serbs began rounding up Muslim men and boys. They would go on to kill 8,000 of them. It was the worst massacre in Europe since World War II. Wim Dijkema has these memories of those hours and days after the Serbs took Srebrenica.
We didn't hear anything. The circumference of the enclave is 50 kilometers mountainous area. And when somebody is shooting at 10, 15 kilometers away, you don't hear anything. On the other hand, I probably heard something, but there was shooting every day, so it wasn't unusual.
Women, though, were saying that their men had been taken away by the Serbs. You were being told that?
Some women said that, yes. And so I asked, and now what? Oh, they will kill him. I said, why do you think? They always do. And that's exactly the point what keeps me busy until today, for 16 years. I ask myself, should I have known that, yes or no?
Are you saying you didn't really believe that there would be killing on a mass scale?
That's exactly the word. I didn't believe, and I couldn't believe, I didn't want to believe that things like that still happen nowadays. I know there had been killing in the Yugoslavian war, yes. But things like this, when the whole world is watching...
Some people listening will say that that sounds now naive, that the Dutch soldiers should have been very much more aware that those men being taken away were going to be in the gravest danger.
Exactly. We were so naive, we shouldn't have gone there, because we didn't understand. We didn't want to understand that people do this to each other. But it didn't. And that's still killing me, that knowledge of that.
Because, of course, to the outside world, it looks as if the Dutch troops were extraordinarily passive in that situation. How do you explain the lack of effort to insert some degree of pressure back on the Serbs?
At that time, it wouldn't have any use. To stop Mladic, they had to stop him 1 or 2 years earlier. Then they could have made a fist. But at that time, when we were there, Mladic exactly knew I can do what I want and they won't hurt me. And that's the reason we were not able to do something. It would have been suicide, and not only that, when we would have fired a shot on one of his soldiers, we would have been killed, but not only us. It would have been a bloodshed under the Muslim people, that I'm sure. There were 20,000 people around our compound, and Mladic threatened us.
But just last week, a Dutch court delivered a devastating verdict on the performance of the country's troops. It said they'd witnessed multiple incidents in which the Bosnian Serbs mistreated or killed Muslim men. According to the court, the Dutch soldiers therefore knew that when they told male refugees to leave the comparative safety of the Dutch base, the men were at great risk. In a test case involving three of those men, the Dutch state was found to be responsible for their deaths. Wim Dijkema lives with many painful memories of Srebrenica, but he's haunted by one moment in particular when he watched the Muslim men, women and children file out of the Dutch base.
I think they must have seen it on my face that I didn't accept it. And suddenly a woman came out of the line, a woman I knew, put her hand on my arm, and she said, "Good luck. I know you can't help it." I cried at that moment, and it's still for me, it's very hard to think about it, because I was a soldier. I was pretty sure that nothing would happen to me, but that somebody in her situation try to cheer me up, I think it was great. It really was great. Later on I thought, when these people have women like her, they will make it. They really will make it.
Warrant Officer Wim Dijkema, ending witness, from Alan Johnston. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.